Yes! You're the man now, dog.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Morning Somewhere for April 24th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns. Sitting right over there, she's the man now, dog. Ashley Burns, how you doing, Ash?
Not too bad. Had a bit of a risky intro there. I had a cat on my lap, and there could have been claws at any moment.
Could have been claws. That's why it was especially loud on the... Oh, Mush is in my suitcase. He caused problems last night for us. We recorded a special for the Patreon, patreon.com/morningsomewhere. Thank you for your support. We recorded a special episode, bonus episode coming out this weekend, the first of our media club.
We're still trying to decide what to call it, but it's a movie night. It's basically where we can talk about movies that we've seen, comfortable in the knowledge that those listening have also seen the thing and that we're not ruining it for anyone.
Although I do like recently that somebody did post in our subreddit that they were like, there was a spoiler that we had for Three Body Problem, which we made chapter markers for and everything like that. And they were just like, I'll listen to the spoiler. And the spoiler was enough to get them to go watch it.
Oh, wow.
Or go read the series, I think.
Great salesmanship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So hashtag ad. Anyway, to tease a little bit more this screen look, screen sharing, whatever we want to call this thing, we were trying to come up with names for it, knowing that probably every name is taken. You know what I'm happy about in my lifetime? I'm happy that I never had the responsibility, direct responsibility, to name a goddamn Dungeons and Dragons show, because I'm pretty sure every pun related to D20s and rolling dice, I'm pretty sure they've all been used at this point.
There's some pretty funny ones, though.
So we were trying to name it. So it's just our little media club, and we recorded about Fallout, the series. A little bit late, because it was all dropped at one time, but we thought it'd be fun to talk about Fallout. So if you haven't watched it and you're a member of the Patreon, be sure to watch it before this weekend if you want to consume that in a timely fashion.
Yeah, on a related note, we've mentioned this on previous episodes that people are going back and revisiting old Fallout games after watching the show, that all the games have been seeing a big spike. Fallout 76 is a huge beneficiary of this. Bethesda just posted that they got a million new players. Maybe it's not new players, but they had a million players in a day.
That's
on
crazy.
Fallout 76.
I don't know which is a more impressive stat, a million new players or a million people playing within 24 hours. I mean, that's crazy.
And from what I'm hearing from people, people are like, oh, I like it.
Because suddenly it's come back around. And we talked about that. One of the things I wanted to talk about during this, and I did some research on it, was the fact that in the Fallout series, they talk about the Vault Boy and his thumb, and how his thumb, what it actually is him measuring the mushroom cloud. I always felt like that was an internet theory that became canon now with the Fallout series, that's the reason why Vault Boy is holding up his thumb. Went and looked at it. We talk about this in the Media Club episode, but I was 100% right. The artists who created Vault Boy have gone on record as saying it has nothing to do, his thumb has nothing to do with him measuring a cloud.
He's just got a great attitude.
But people just keep running with that theory, and now they've actually put that in the Fallout series, and now it's become canon to it. I kind of like that. I kind of like that some fan out there came up with this idea, and everyone goes, oh, that's amazing, and now it's part of the actual franchise.
I wonder what other things, fan theories, have become absorbed into canon because they were just really good ideas. I get the feeling we'll never really know all of them, because some of them are probably quite quietly absorbed. Or just like,
maybe,
yeah, you're right. You guessed it.
I also wonder the flip side of that, of how many writers tried to stay ahead of the audience in the internet era and try to be like, oh, yeah, we were going to do that, but then these people all figured it out. So now we've got to like duck and dive and do something new to stay ahead of them, which I don't think you have to do.
No, but that was one of the real concerns about, was it Lost? That they kept changing stuff or like making stuff weird because the audience was maybe like guessing the answers, and they were like, well, we can't have that.
Yeah. Like with the Breaking Bad, I know they were going to reveal it was actually Malcolm in the Middle's dad. They changed it. They actually did that on Newhart. Bob Newhart had a show, I think in the 70s, where he was a therapist. And then he had the show in the 80s which ran for a long time, where he was running like an inn in Connecticut or something like that. It's almost like an American Fawlty Towers in kind of a way. And at the end of the second sitcom, he woke up on the set of the previous sitcom and was talking about how like he dreamed that he was running an inn and all this crazy stuff. And it's one of those really weird, crazy moments. Yeah. In like modern American television.
That's
modern
bizarre.
20 years ago, 40 years ago. Sorry.
Modern is modern ish.
All right. It is now Wednesday, everybody. What's going on out there in the world, Miss Ashley? Besides Fallout 76 becoming a late blooming hit.
Hold on to your TikToks. The U.S. Senate has passed the divestor shutdown bill. I'm not sure what they're calling it exactly now. So it is due to be signed. The divest or ban bill, I guess, is what everyone's referring to it as. So that's been passed. It's going in front of President Biden. He is likely to sign it sometime today, at which point TikTok will immediately challenge it in court.
Do you know what I'm wondering when I hear this, too? I mean, there's a lot of opinions, obviously, about whether or not TikTok should be shut down or divested or any of the possible remedies that exist at this point. What I'm wondering is, is this like the fastest, is this the speed run of starting a company, having it grow to such a successful level to immediately being shut down by the government? Like, what is the fastest amount of time that a company
grew? Were they
grew?
Doing like an any percent speed run?
I mean, it took like, telephone and telegraph companies 100 years to get to that point. Even oil companies, when they were being broken up or things like that. That took decades. How long has TikTok even been around?
Maybe what we do is we have to break it into two, tick and talk.
Tick is just, it's all Lyme disease videos.
Speaking of which, I got a tick. First tick of the year. The ticks are a big issue here. There's no wolves. There's no
We've
bears.
We've talked about this. Yeah,
there's nothing scary. There's just ticks, which is very annoying.
Ticks, yeah.
And you have to go through and then just like find these little bugs that have attached themselves to your legs and get them off with these special little tweezers.
And I feel
it's
like
so annoying.
I feel like that very small slice of our lives of like having to watch out and do tick checks on the kids and stuff like that. Like, you basically look like a baboon.
Oh yeah, like strip down, spin.
Man, there's so many things I'm putting pins in here. I saw a video recently of a woman who was allowing a chimp to groom her, like go through, and you think it's just like, oh, picking bugs out of the hair. Man, it's crazy. All the stuff this chimp does just based on instinct, like checks her eyes, checks her gums, checks her ears, checks her nose. Like it's like, it looks almost like a full medical workup. And everyone in the comments is amazed by it. We'll link it in the linked up. It's a really interesting video. But I always thought it was just like, you know, like picking bugs off of each other. And that
was it. That's because that's what you see in the videos, right? Is they're just lined up and they're just going through each other's scalp.
Yeah. And I also know certain people who have inherited that from our evolutionary ancestors and want to pick. Like anytime I walk in and I've got some kind of like
hold
tiny
still.
Little red dot in the corner of my forehead, Ash is like, I can turn that into a giant crane. Just give me 5 minutes and put you through excruciating pain.
But on the flip side, then you also get head scratches as part of the grooming. So
it
balances out. I always feel like you would be the happiest you could ever be if you could just get in one of those little chimp grooming lineups.
Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
Just get one of them just screechy scratching on your scalp all the time.
No, I got you. This is my dream. This is my dream. There is a video online of a warthog that like... walks
is this the
into
warthog drive through?
And it like walks up and there's a bunch of, what are they, like meerkats or something? Some kind of like Weasley things. And they just all like clamber all over the warthog and like just clean him out. Like just pick every little parasite off of him. And then he gets up and walks away. It's almost like a Serengeti spa is what
it's
it looks
so
like.
It's so funny.
We'll definitely post that link to that video in the link dump. But yeah, we have with the kids when they come in from outside playing. They're mongooses. Mongooses.
Mongeese?
You know, that's another thing too. Why do they have so many different terms for groups of animals? Is that like when animal husbandry was like
localized,
like the utmost in technology, you know, like that was
that, or maybe just because it was very local to various areas. Now we're like, yes, of course, the mongooses that pile on the warthogs as opposed to the meerkats that pile on the No. Mountain lions? I don't know. But
no, I'm talking about specifically how there's different terms for groups of animals. Like there's a flock of sheep. There's a murder, a murder of crows. Like we came up with different terms for...
It's like a wisdom of owls.
And we don't ever say, look, there's a murder. You say literally a murder of crows, you know?
Like really explaining it, pointing it out.
I guess if you work with
them
a lot...
I think it's just to add flavor.
You do say the flock. Like cows are a herd.
Yeah, I'm going out to check the herd, out to check the flock.
I mean, it's just interesting to me that, like, I guess when you worked with a lot of animals, you wanted to refer to the different groups in different ways, I suppose.
Pride of lions.
I don't know who's working with a pride or who's working with a murder every day.
Would you like to hear a couple more interesting group names for animals? A cloud of gnats, which is appropriate.
Yeah, cloud is a good one.
A gang of turkeys.
Is that right?
A lightning of tigers.
Get the fuck out of here.
A charm of finches. A gulp of cormorants.
What's the animal?
The cormorant?
What's a cormorant?
I think a cormorant is a bird.
Okay.
And they gulp, I guess. A sounder of boars. I wonder if sounder then also applies to warthogs.
Yeah, see, why all these different terms for just groups of animals?
I don't know, but if I can level with you, I kind of like them.
I like it too.
Mob of kangaroos, a conspiracy of lemurs.
I don't understand it. So yeah, so we're on Tick Watch now with Ashley. So we're like,
and Talk Watch with the Senate.
We have a little like pencil mark or a Sharpie mark on her leg to make sure that it doesn't expand or anything like that. But I feel like this situation with ticks here, and not just here, but everywhere in the world where there's ticks and Lyme disease, is this very small slice of our life is like a metaphor for the larger experience we're all going through now, where I keep hearing through science news, there is a vaccine out there for Lyme disease, and it's in trials. So there are people that are vaccinated right now for Lyme disease. I believe if you want to look at it, you look it up over there. I think it's called Valor.
25 years ago, a vaccine called Lymerix debuted, was 75% effective. But by 2022, a vaccine manufacturer, SmithKline-Beecham, pulled that from the market, which is very unfortunate. This has been the first test of a potential Lyme disease vaccine in 20 years. That happened in 2022. And now in 2023, Pfizer and Valneva are at like phase three of their clinical trial. So it is, I feel like it's getting close.
So it's in trials. And there was somebody, I got this from a Reddit thread of like, what's a technology that's closer than most people realize it is? And somebody was talking about how they were currently in the human trials for Valor. And they even said what the acronym meant, which is Vaccine Against Lyme for Outdoor Recreationalists.
Nice. I like being like, what vaccine have you got? Valor. I'm just real brave now.
What's a group of outdoor recreationalists called?
It's called a Valor.
We have a lot of, in this area, we have a lot of ramblers, they're called, in Scotland. Have we ever talked about the right to roam in Scotland?
We may have mentioned it just briefly, but it's a really cool philosophy, the idea being that Scotland belongs to everyone.
Yeah.
So even if there's like a private land, whatever, you can walk across it. You can even camp on it. And there are a lot of people who do. It's basically a common sense rule, like don't go peeking in people's windows. That's rude. And that's not okay. But if you need to cross a field, you're allowed to do that.
And which is cool because there's lots of like big hills in Scotland, like something between a big hill and a mountain. And if you see when you're driving down the road, it's a gradual, like there's not like a lot of steep like cliff faces and things like that. There are in like the Northwest Highlands, but when you're driving down a lot of the freeways here, you can see these like really picturesque hills and you think, wow, I wonder like if I could walk to the top of that. I think that at least when I'm in the car. And if you want to, you could just pull the car
you
over
could.
And figure it out. We actually did that, me and the kids. We did that when we took Teddy had like 8 of his friends over here a couple summers ago. And it was like, we all just like said, okay, let's just walk to the top of that hill.
And got like just lost enough to have fun with it.
Well, then we had to do tick checks.
Well, yeah, there was that. In other news, I saw that the filming on Severance season 2 has wrapped.
Awesome. Definitely going to be the subject of an upcoming media club.
Yes. I'm a little bit worried about season 2.
Fuck off.
Just because I... season 1... because season 1 was incredible. It would be hard to beat, even if there weren't reports that they were sort of creative loggerheads. in season two about what direction to take things, which I would have hoped that by the end of season one, they would already know where season two was going because it ended on such a specific note. If you have not watched the show, it's on Apple TV Plus. It is absolutely fantastic. It's kind of slow starting out.
I don't think so at all.
You don't think so?
I think it's an amazing show from start to end.
For me, it was one of those shows where it just seemed, the very beginning notes seemed just sort of like sad and quiet. And I was not immediately hooked because John Wick wasn't rolling through going pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
But I kept walking through the room as you were watching this show. And similar to Leftovers, right? I got hooked over time by just continued exposure. And I'm really invested, and I need season two to be good.
I also think it's got something that is highly underrated in today's media environment, which is in the bingeable world, you want to have a amazing opening credit sequence. And it can't be too long, because if people are binging, they're going to run into it quite a bit. I'm trying to think of the show, probably Orange is the New Black, where you and I were like, they introduced the skip intro function on Netflix, and we're like, thank God, because we hated the intro to Orange is the New Black.
But liked the show.
But liked the, well, after episode eight or whatever, we gave it so long. Severance has like a chef's kiss opening credit sequence.
I feel like a lot of the Apple shows have really good sequences.
And it's, I think it's highly underrated how important that is to have something like that. Or have one that's extremely brief and gets you into the show as soon as possible. But the Severance one is fantastic. It's really trippy and really cool, and a really specific kind of animation. It's almost like a tilt shift, you know, with the where it makes everything kind of look like a miniature, but also then really artistic stylized. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Mad Men's another one that had a great intro sequence that, you know, carried you through the whole show, I think.
And how would you describe the premise of Severance for people who are not familiar with it?
Whoa, I don't like the premise is the I'm show
hesitant.
Though.
Yeah, it's like I'm hesitant. I don't want to go spoiling things because I worry that I know too much.
It's like,
but you know, I feel like I need to sell people on this show.
It's almost like I don't know. It's a very modern show, almost like near future, but it's almost like that trippy 70s sci-fi where they just took the modern working 9-to-5 capitalistic environment and then turned it into like a grand social experiment. Let me put it this way. It's almost like if you cross The Office with a Fallout vault. That's about the best explanation I could give of it.
You know what? That's a pretty good explanation.
Yeah, that's Ashley just came to me. Look at you're sitting across from over here. It's like that. But The Office is probably not the best thing to compare it to because it's not quirky and funny like The Office. You know, there are some interesting personalities in it. Some of them even double up. It's a great show. I love sci-fi that takes a certain thing and then changes one thing about it and then just runs with that premise and it does.
It's also a nice, interesting, quiet kind of sci-fi as well. It's not spaceships, right? It's Office.
If you like Lost, it's almost like one of the Dharma Initiative, are they vaults? Is that what they call them in the Lost? Like the different stations they have, like Hydra Station and whatever. You almost get a feeling like that as well. And if you like
Station.
It's stations, yeah. If you like that part of Lost, to me, it almost feels like a weird extension of that. Like somebody was inspired by that part of Lost and just kind of ran with it. I think if you like the Fallout series and you like the pre-war stuff in Fallout especially, I would definitely say give Severance a shot. And there is stuff like you're like, oh, come on, what the fuck is this? Sometimes in it, you know, because it's got a little bit of like, what's that meme? Backrooms, the creepypasta backrooms
we talked about recently. Oh, yeah, like liminal spaces.
It's got a little bit of that, too. You know what I mean? And all the things I'm comparing it to, it also doesn't compare to those things. I don't know how else to put it. These are just the closest comparisons I can make. I really like the show. I recommend you watch it. And we will probably do a media club on season one before season two comes out at some point in time.
How exciting.
All right, what else is going on in the news? I heard a close on this. I heard a podcast that I listened to. They were recently talking about a high-speed rail that is being built between Los Angeles and Las Vegas, where you'll be able to get to Vegas in 2 hours from LA.
That's pretty cool.
This would be like one of the only, if not the only, high-speed rail lines in all of America. And it's pretty wild that we're just now getting to the point where we're building like these high-speed rails. They've talked about it in Texas forever. There's Austin. We're from Austin. We always talk about Austin. Austin isn't even close to the biggest city in Texas. Texas has, right around Austin, in a triangle, It has three of the top 10 cities by population in the nation. And they've talked forever about putting a high-speed rail between those three different cities. But it's just like, nobody goes. Like, if you live in Houston, you don't go to San Antonio.
Yeah,
like
why would I do that?
Yeah, you know, you're like, oh, I got to get to the big office complex down in San Antonio from Dallas. It's just not the same industries in any way whatsoever. Maybe Dallas and Houston with, like, some petroleum stuff, but not that much.
Not that much. I understand it takes a lot of maintenance. Like, they're very expensive to maintain. And in the U.S.'s, to the U.S.'s credit, that's a really, really big country. That's a lot of rail to maintain. That makes it so much more expensive to maintain at any real level of density. So I can see why it's not as big a deal. And also, dude, freeways in America are great.
The interstate system is amazing. It is one of the wonders of the world. It is truly amazing, and we miss it greatly.
All right. Well, before we go, I do want to say thank you to today's sponsors for Morning Somewhere, Daniel L. and Joshua Gonzalez. Thank you both for sponsoring this episode of our show.
All right. Well, that does it for us today. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.